Margaret, exciting news. I am about to have a new baby nephew. And believe it or not, this will be my 13th nephew.
Amy, you're ready to give up your amateur status. You're a pro aunt at this point.
Our family has seen a lot of babies. And as soon as they start standing or walking, I send them all a whole lot of Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 don't have ordinary diaper tabs. Instead, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your newly mobile little one.
Pampers Cruisers 360 offer a gap-free fit that is up to 100% leak-proof, crucial once your baby is quite literally up and at 'em. And that gap-free fit helps prevent your baby from taking off their diaper, a habit you do not want them to get into.
You can say that again. And Pampers Cruisers 360 just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we even elaborate on the need for that, friends? For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
My kids can't have hot dogs 365 days a year. What fresh hell?
Laughing in the face of motherhood. I feel like my kids are my partners in crime now. With Margaret Abels
and Amy Wilson.
I have my act together, I don't make my bed.
A podcast that solves today's parenting dilemmas
so you don't have to. Memories, watercolor memories. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood. This is Margaret.
And this is Amy. And this week we are talking about when is this going to be fun again?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that presupposes that this was ever fun, which may be a topic for a different day. But I like this topic a lot. It's kind of like, if you're in a bad spell, when will this be fun again?
You know, it's not like flipping a switch, right? Like, this comes and goes with parts of your day, hour, and minute as a mom. But I think it's okay to wonder, when is this going to be fun again? And I think it's okay to work on making it a little more fun. So that's what we're going to talk about today.
And I think it's really, this is something I've been wanting to talk about on the podcast for a while. We may do a longer episode around certain other topics on this, but I was speaking to somebody yesterday who doesn't have kids and was saying they're not sure they want them. And I was saying, I'm kind of like, you know, Cassandra in the myth, she's like the person who sees the future and is, her curse is that she's constantly warning people about what's coming and nobody listens.
Nobody ever believes her.
Nobody ever believes her.
She's like the opposite of the boy who cried wolf, who lied and everybody believed him. She tells the truth and nobody believes her.
That's right. And I often say, like, I feel sometimes like the Cassandra of motherhood. Like, guys, listen. I know you're picturing the Hallmark commercial where everybody's gathered around on Christmas morning, loving each other and exchanging gifts, but there's a lot of other stuff that goes with it, you know? And I'm all for having kids, but I do think the kind of in the same way that, like, when I see, have you ever seen those pictures where, like, people get married at Disneyland and they're dressed as Cinderella and Prince Charming and they're, like, being carted around in the coach? You know, this is a service that Disneyland offers.
Yes.
I just think to myself when I see these pictures, you have a fundamental misconception about what marriage is. Like, it's really not Cinderella and Prince Charming. It's more like hiking partners on a very challenging mountain climb. And I worry about people who are like, it's a big fairy tale in front of a castle. And similarly, I think, like, the idea that parenting is fun, we should maybe dispel people of that a little bit.
I am going to say you can focus on fun. You can make it more fun for yourself. I've done a little research on this and I feel like there are things you can do to make it better for yourself, but it's also okay to not love every minute of parenting. Nobody does.
Yes. I mean, we are fundamentally agreeing. Like, I'm not saying that, like, you need to understand that parenting is a long, slogging nightmare of doom. Like, maybe sometimes, but parenting is not terrible. But I think sometimes you go into it and it's like, it's all baby snuggles and fun. And you and your gorgeous husband who have a baby who looks like both of you are just like throwing it up in the air and laughing. Like, I think the concept gets a little away from us.
And here's the problem. When that becomes something else that you put on your pile of feel bad, right? Like, and on top of everything.
That's exactly why it worries me. That's right.
Yeah. I'm not good at this and I'm supposed to be loving it and I kind of don't. I'm kind of feeling this is overwhelming and the pumpkin patch is supposed to be fun and I'm not having any fun at all and there must be something wrong with me. It's not something that you should take on additional guilt about.
No, and I will say as an oldie locks, there are many things that work to my detriment, such as like hurting myself by getting out of bed in the morning. Like there's lots of bad things about being older. But one good thing about being older is that I have gained some wisdom and perspective. And I give you, to me, one thing that in my 40s, let's say, I have really discovered is the key to happiness. And that thing is expectation management. Like, I think that I have a tendency, maybe because like I'm a writer and I feel that I have a pretty good imagination, but I sometimes, my imagination takes me to bad places in which I'm like, oh, my husband's out of the house. It's near my birthday. It must be because he's planning this giant trip to Paris where he flies me there on a hot air balloon. Like, and then I'm like, oh, he got me a thing instead, you know? And so I think I have a tendency to like, I imagine this wonderful scenario. And so I spend too much time feeling disappointed. And in my 40s, I have learned the simple joys of expectation management.
To just not want too much in the first place? This sounds a little sad.
I mean, it sounds depressing. It does sound sad. And I feel like this is the kind of advice that older people gave me when I was younger. And I was like, you're a loser and you've given up on life. But I do think that like what ruins the pumpkin patch is the pumpkin patch is going to be us frolicking along and getting amazing pictures of my beautiful kids hugging each other near pumpkins. And you're setting yourself up for failure by doing that kind of expectation stuff. What's going to make Christmas great is everyone's having a great time. What's going to make Christmas great, and we talked about this on the holidays episode, it's going to be a bit of a hot mess, but we're all going to be in it together. And since we're expecting a hot mess, we're going to delight in that when it comes.
It occurs to me that maybe the problem is, as you were saying, like to expect these snow globe moments to be all fun when they're not. And by snow globe, I mean, you know, like here we are seeing the Rockettes in New York City or whatever. And then if there's something not fun in that, therefore the whole thing has to be thrown out, or that you think that fun and lightheartedness and memorable parenting can only occur when you're taking the kids to see the Rockettes and not when you're, you know, at home, like cutting out something from construction paper, that fun can also be in those little moments that aren't at Disney World.
Absolutely. And that's when they're going to be. Like, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I guess I am because I'm saying don't have children. I'm Cassandra. But I mean, really.
Other than that, though,
I will say, I mean, I just have a friend who has a brand new baby and I'm like, oh, you're in it. Good luck. But like, the happiest memories of my life that I think of do occur since I first started having children 11 years ago. They are like the strongest, most memorable, most wonderful moments of my life. Mm-hmm. But the hardest, most anxious-filled memories of my entire life are also in that same period. Like, it kind of ups the ante. Like, and I had very bad postpartum anxiety with my first baby, which I didn't even realize what it was at the time. But I was talking maybe to my mom or maybe to a therapist. I don't remember who I was saying this to, but I was like, it's like a door has opened in my mind to like every bad thing that can ever happen to a small person. Like, it literally is like having this piece of yourself that walks around in danger. And you always think for yourself, like, this is why people misjudge like that driving a car is safer than being in an airplane, because you're in control. And so with myself, I'm like, I'll like, you know, I'm going to be fine driving. I can handle it. But like my teenager driving, that's horrifying to me.
I see. That's interesting.
And so your love of yourself is equal and more so your love of your child. But your control over them is very low. It's the worst possible situation. It is extremely high stakes, extremely low control. And that's really hard. And you should acknowledge how hard that is.
And we connect fun with lightheartedness, right? I mean, they're certainly related, but they're not necessarily the same thing. And you're not lighthearted with anything regarding your baby or your teenager driving. And so you still have to have fun at times that aren't necessarily lighthearted. I guess it might be kind of tricky after all.
And I think that what I'm saying about expectation management is that somebody said this. I wish I knew who said this. I'll try to Google it and see if I can find it. But I'm not taking credit for it. I didn't say it. It was somebody deciding whether or not to have kids. And they were like, you know, pros, you know, someone to take care of us when we're old. We love them, blah, blah, blah. Cons, we love to travel. We couldn't do that with kids. We have a lot of freedom to make choices. Like, they were really sussing it out. And they just kept going back and forth. Like, it all seems kind of equal. Like, we could do either. And then finally, the husband was like, I just feel like having kids is full human experience. And they wrote that at the bottom of the list. And they were like, okay, that's the deal breaker for us. We're going to go for it. We're going to try this. And on our Friends Without Kids episode, I was talking to my friend without kids about this. And we were laughing about how when she's enjoying her like champagne brunch, I like to drive by and scream, you're not having the full human experience at her. Because like, there is a lot to say for not doing this too. And there's a lot of reasons for not doing this. I don't actually believe that you can't have a full human experience without children. But I think that full human experience. So anyway, in the article, they're saying to each other constantly while like the baby's like having a diaper blowout at 3 a.m. and the air conditioning's out. And they're like always looking at each other and being like, full human experience. And it's like, I just think if your goal is more like, we're in it, it's easier to deal with than your goal is like every moment is, as you said, I think very well, snow globe moment.
So can we go back to the topic suggestion?
Yes. Oh, yeah, sure. We're 10 minutes in. Let's talk about the actual topic.
We're 10 minutes in because, of course, the people listening have already made the decision to have the full human experience, which is better. You guys, it's better. It's totally better. Missy in Minnesota gave us this topic suggestion. So I'll explain what she says here. She says, I've got a busy 3-year-old boy, a busy 1.5-year-old boy. Missy, you did not have to specify that they were busy. We can imagine that. And a baby due next summer. I mean this.
Oh, Missy, I feel your pain. I've done it.
Yes. Missy says, I mean this in the best way possible, but when would you say things that are supposed to be fun are actually really fun again? She gives another Christmas example. She says, decorating my house for Christmas. I can't put anything out on a surface my children can reach because it's broken in 4 seconds. Cue my mother-in-law, who has bought us an absurd amount of delicate, breakable holiday house decor that I can't put out, and then she wonders where it is. Or just generally things that you imagine being really fun but end up being a lot of work and end up with a cranky family. So she wants us to talk about that.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about it. I got a lot to say about this because I was exactly, it's Missy, right?
Yeah.
I was in Missy's shoes exactly. I had a 4-year-old, a 3-year-old, and an infant. And let me tell you, I was saying on the toddler episode that I went back to visit the house where I raised my kids thinking that I would be like, oh, memories, watercolor memories. And instead I walked up and it was like the scene from Star Wars where like the voices from the past like overwhelm you in terror. Like, I walked up and I just got like horror chills all through my body. Like, it was not fun. And I remember telling my mom that I was pregnant with my third, and she had had 3 kids each 12 months apart. I had 3 kids 18 months apart.
Slacker.
Yeah, I was totally down on my game. And by the way, like, had my first at 37, so I wasn't really making a plan. I was just like, let's see if we can have a couple of kids because I came from a big family. I thought it would be fun. And so when I told her I was pregnant with my third, you know, she wasn't like, great job, I'm so excited. She was like, yeah, it's going to be a really hard couple of years. And she wasn't wrong. And that's like, I loved my mom's like practicality. Like, she and I are very simpatico and like, it's not for everybody, but like, it wasn't fun at all. I mean, there were moments of fun and I look back at the pictures. Thank God there is a biological imperative that makes them adorable because they were so cute, but mostly it was terrible. It was tired. It was 3 kids. I said, my brother called me at some point when I had a baby, just one. He has 4. And he said, how's it going? And I said, oh, there's good days and bad days. And he's like, yeah, and when you have more, you can have good days and bad days on the same day. And it was so right. And like, that's it. Like, someone's always having a bad day. Like, if you've got one, you've got a chance that you get through the day pretty well. But like with 3, someone's always having a bad day. It's so tough. And Missy, I feel you. And I will tell you, and I said this on the toddlers episode, people who come up to you and are like, little people, little problems, only gets worse, are lying. I now have an 11-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 7-year-old. And we're having a lot of pretty good times.
Well, okay, so I want to say to Missy that I think it definitely gets easier. I mean, of course it does, right? As they get, there's breaks. It's less incessant, as we were saying during the toddlers episode. But just because you get more breaks doesn't necessarily mean it gets more fun or more lighthearted. Like for me, like after dinner, we have dinner as a family, and then my kids like go to their rooms and do their homework. Like it's like Silent as the Tomb in my house from 7 to 9 p.m. And it is wonderful in some ways. I wouldn't say it's necessarily fun or lighthearted. So I want to sort of separate out that hard is not fun and easy is fun. And that's not necessarily the case. I think you can have fun in the midst of the madness, and you can be, you know, lonely when your kids are not giving you any trouble at all. That's not fun either. So I feel like how hard it is makes it hard to have fun, but it's only one part of it.
Yes, I agree, but I have a strong counter argument, I think. So we're going to come right back with that. Amy, on this podcast, we try to always offer useful takeaways. And if you learn nothing else from us, learn this useful parenting lesson by Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 are the ultimate parent hack, the best diaper to use as soon as your baby starts standing or walking. Instead of ordinary diaper tabs, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your wild child.
Pampers Cruisers 360 makes it so easy to change your baby, who probably doesn't stop moving just because they need a diaper changed. Just slide on to apply and away they go.
And fear not, parents. Pampers Cruisers 360 offers an up to 100% leak-free fit. And they just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we say more?
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupons, savings, and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
Margaret, I've been at the research again, looking into metabolic health and, more importantly, metabolic flexibility, which turns out is the key to improved energy levels, better sleep, better fitness, all the things. And I found out about all this because we got a chance to try Lumen, the first handheld device that helps you manage your metabolic health.
Lumen works when you breathe into it. If you do that first thing in the morning or after a workout, Lumen measures your metabolism by measuring the amount of carbon dioxide in your breath. It's science, people. That lets you see exactly what's going on in your body in real time.
Then you use Lumen's app to get tailored guidance to improve your sleep, your nutrition, even stress management. If you're interested in figuring out the effects of different sorts of foods on your body, Lumen is a really cool way to see what's actually happening as your body burns different fuel sources.
If you want to take the next step in improving your health, go to lumen.me and use Fresh to get $100 off your Lumen.
That is lumen.me, lumen.me, and use the code Fresh at checkout for $100 off.
Thank you, Lumen, for sponsoring this episode. Amy, we're back. And I think fun is an interesting concept, right? Like, I would argue this strongly. Toddlerhood, the fun can be very easily eclipsed by the constantness and the terror factor. And what I mean is this, like, it is hard to have fun, even if you're at the park or doing something ostensibly fun. It is hard to have fun when you are constantly worried that one of your children is going to be hideously injured in some way, which I feel like with 4, 3 and baby, you spend so much time in that headspace that it is pretty hard to find the fun. And Christmas morning is mostly about don't ruin the ornaments. Don't. Christmas season is often about that. And like, birthday parties are mostly about like, come on, let's keep them occupied, get them cake and get out of here. And the ability to have fun, I think, is so hampered by that. And when you were talking about you and your kids at this point, like, I think about, like, I was at your birthday party, right? And it's like the family, the whole family, including the kids, were really having fun together. That is something that is just absolutely unattainable when you have little tiny kids.
Right. Nobody was in diapers.
Basically, your birthday party at, you know, whatever it would be 10 years ago was basically like, there's a pond nearby. I cannot enjoy anything because I'm worried that the 3-year-old will somehow run towards it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. My birthday party's only fun if my kids aren't at it when they're 4, 3 and a baby.
That's right. And I still, in fact, I was considering briefly bringing my kids to your birthday party. And we ended up having a really, really fun time at your birthday party. And both my husband and I on the way home were like, oh, thank God we didn't bring our kids, because our kids are still a little too young to be fun without any worry, you know? And is it possible that your tween is going to pout through the whole thing because something went wrong for them? It is possible. But I do think that, like, I would say to Missy that fun comes back about five when you're not constantly worried about your children injuring yourself.
Mm-hmm. And you just said something else that reminds me of something that I've hit on before, and I need to like realign myself with that. One of your kids, as your brother was saying, you can have good days and bad days on the same day, because once you have multiple human beings in your house, everybody's on their own path, right? And your tween can pout through your birthday party. And that doesn't have to mean your birthday party isn't fun and you're not enjoying it and being lighthearted. Like, your kids can, you can't ride the same roller coaster as your moody teenager or your sick kid or whatever. You have to find a way to be lighthearted even when things are stressful. And that's available to you. I think it takes a little bit of work, but it's not worth doing because you'll be a better parent. It's worth doing because you will live a happier life for yourself. So I think it's worth finding that stuff.
Well, it's really interesting because I hadn't thought of it that way, because what you're basically talking about is like there is a fundamental separation that happens with your kids when they're three or four. And so you lose some great stuff, which is like constant like snuggle up time, them thinking the sun rises and sets with you. Those are great things when you have little kids. But the separation that happens is really important. And I think it reintroduces some of the fun, because you can choose to be like, okay, go up in your room and be mad at everyone. We're downstairs, like having a great dinner and chatting.
That's true.
But with a three-year-old, you are so tied to everything they're doing, and they make or break every moment, you know? And thank goodness then their fun is that they're cute and they're so funny. We were just with my 2.5-year-old nephew and my 18-month-old niece, and like, they are so funny. The things they do and just the things they come up with and the way they act and like, they just make you laugh because they're just adorable creatures. But as the parent, I think they are kind of fun killers, because everywhere you go, your fun is sublimated to keeping them safe.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're older, that's right. Like, maybe I'm unique in this experience, but I find my life with older kids so much more fun. And people always tell me, oh, but you're in the sweet spot because then they're going to become teens and they hate you. But like, okay, fine, maybe. But there is something about the period where like, they're not actively trying to hurt themselves all the time. And you can have conversations with them and you can really do stuff. Like Amy refers to me sometimes as the idea cannon, because I do. I'm always like, let's try this. And then like with the podcast, I'm always like, hey, let's start a musical version, whatever. Like, I'm always like, here's an idea. And I feel like my kids are my partners in crime now, and I love it. I'm like, you know what we could do? My son's into trains right now. And I'm like, I bet we could find a train that we could all sleep on one night and like look out the dome car and like see cool things in the fall. And like, we're looking into it. Turns out it's wildly expensive to do that. So it may not happen. But like, we took an RV trip as kids. I always wanted to go in an RV. And I'm like, come on, kids, let's get in the RV. Like, I wouldn't go in an RV if I didn't have kids. Like, my husband and I are going to go spend money and go around in an RV. But like, I think it's really fun with my kids now. I really am having fun with them. I feel like, Missy, I offer you hope from the future.
Well, you're hitting on something that I think is a takeaway, no matter how old your kid is, which is the child-led thing, that, you know, if you want your kids to be enthusiastic about something, then lead with the thing they're enthusiastic about. Like, maybe, Missy, you don't love Thomas the Tank Engine, but your kid does. And so you can go to the train museum, or you can just play trains on the floor and just land, and your kid will stay there. It's like the bathtub Legos we were talking about in the toddlers episode. Like, your kid loves baths, your kid loves Legos. Who cares? That's not a combination that goes together, but they're happy there. And sort of landing and staying where your kid is deeply content is a way for you to take a breath and have a little bit of lightheartedness in the middle of a crazy busy day.
And that's the thing. I mean, I think that you can have fun with 4, 3, and 1. And I think, I remember, I mean, this is like taking me back to my college days where we were all so deep and we would sit around and be like, happiness isn't even the point of life. The point of life is to strive. And, you know, like, I think that fun is kind of a dangerous thing to put at the top of your triangle. I talk a lot about the triangle for me. Like, what's the top? Like, what's the most important thing? And there's a meme. I'm not going to quote it correctly right now, but Amy, maybe you've seen it. It's like 3 points, and it's like clean house, calm mom, something, good meals or something. And it's like, you have to pick one. Like, you're not going to have all three of these things. Like, you have to pick. One has to come out. And I think that that's a really good thing to keep in mind. Like, where is fun in your triangle? It's probably maybe not the top, because I think keeping your children alive is the top of the triangle when you have kids under five.
I'm going to take the other side of this, or at least potentially take the other side of it. I mean, of course, you're right. You have to feed. You have to do, like, there's stuff that has to happen. Like, you have to get them to bed tonight. But I'm going to give you a quote from Danielle Laporte, who is a wellness coach, author, living your best life.
Coming in armed with research to debate me, Amy. This is just so typically you. Love it.
I love this. She says, knowing how you want to feel is the most potent form of clarity you can have. So she would argue that, okay, I want to be more lighthearted. I want our home to have more fun and more joy in it. That is really potent, just to set that intention for yourself and know it. And then she says the next step is to make the connection between this is how I want to feel and this is how I'm going to create those feelings. I was just saying, like, okay, so do Thomas the Tank Engine all the time if that's what your kid wants to do. And it seems to me like, okay, that's maybe Danielle Laporte would say, but that's not how you're finding your joy. That's how you're finding a peaceful afternoon with your kid's joy. I think it's okay to figure out what's important to you and set your intention toward it. Like, I really love being outside. I really love watching old movies. And it's okay to prioritize those things and lean into those things and lean away from, like, the precious Christmas decorations your mother-in-law got you that she wishes were out in your house. If those aren't important to you, then I think you can remove those from the screen.
Oh, those should definitely come off your list, Missy. Come off your list. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're important to her. That's okay. They're not important to you. And, you know, I mean, I get it. There's some day when your kids won't be grabbing that stuff and you're going to get them out. You know, I mean, I use the bowl that my friend gave me when my friends come over. Like, you do that. That's kindness. I'm not saying don't be kind, but I'm saying you can definitely cross off your list right now. But what will she think about this thing that I don't have time to do in this whirlwind that is my life?
Yeah. And I think we're fundamentally agreeing. I think the difficulty of having really young kids is, like, all joy has left my life. And that's the way you kind of feel. I think part of that is just, I think what you're saying is redefining access points to happiness and fun that can fit in with the realities of your life. Because I think feeling that, like, as you said, feeling like this should be fun and it isn't is making it worse.
Mm-hmm.
And so redefining it as, like, I want to have more fun in my life. So maybe there are other things in my life that have to be let go. So I want my house to be spotless and have fun with my three kids under five. Those things may be fundamentally incompatible. So, like, it may involve letting go of some things to let more room in for fun. Because you have to understand that, like, what used to be a very open triangle is now very, very crowded because you've got a lot of other people's needs that kind of are non-negotiables. Feeding them, keeping them safe, you know, those things take a huge amount of bandwidth, for lack of a better word. And so I do think that saying to yourself and making a priority of, like, what's fun? Is it fun after bath time to turn really loud music on, even if the house is messy, even if that's the time I usually clean up everything and let the kids dance around naked for half an hour? It's fun, you know, like, whatever, like, finding things that make things more fun.
It's so lighthearted to me, like, before I started thinking about this, lighthearted would mean, oh, just who cares? Just let it go. You know, just let it all hang out. Right.
Right.
And then as I started thinking about that, I'm like, okay, for me, at least, being more lighthearted is actually intentional. And it's like setting priorities for myself. And the priority is, like, yeah, we're going to have time to sit around after dinner. Like, family dinner is becoming very important to me as my kids get older and have more and more lives outside the house. That's really important to me. We have to be kind of intentional. Or, you know, my husband will text me and say, I'm going to be home for dinner tonight, because he, you know, he works, he travels. If he's going to be home for dinner, it's extremely important that we hold dinner, even if one of my kids is like, whoa, I'm hungry, I have to study, you know, that, like, nope, we're going to have dinner, we're going to sit down. And that sounds like the opposite of lightheartedness, but the five of us sitting together, getting our teenagers full attention and talking to them about whatever, that's the goal, right? That's the end goal. And there has to be intentionality to make it happen. So it's okay to be intentional about your fun creating. That isn't, like, the opposite of fun to make a plan.
Yeah, I think that can be really true. And I also think that, like, looking back on the years that I found the least fun, if I could take one chip from Missy's brain and go back and take it from my own brain, I think it would be that there's a lot of expectations around stuff that I could have probably taken out of the equation. And like making a healthy dinner every single night, maybe I tried, but like sometimes, you know, heating up microwave pizza and eating it while playing outside and letting them run by and take a bite while they keep playing, like not every single night is a learning experience, and not every single night is like a step towards college. You know what I mean? Like I put a lot of that stuff on myself when I was in that phase, and looking back, I'm like, yeah, I did a lot of nonsense back then in terms of like, you know, I must limit screen time to this amount of time, and I must always have family dinner, because I was always like, that's so important to me, family dinner. Like family dinner is important now when my kids are in middle school. It's really important for you when they're in high school.
When they can sit still. Right.
It's not that important when you have a 4, 3, and 1 year old. Like,
right.
You're spending a lot of time together. You're okay. You know,
it's going to be fine. You know, specific to the dinner, I had to have that explained to me by a friend of mine who doesn't have kids, like truth bomb that changed my life. I was sort of like, you know, beating myself up to her over the phone saying like, oh, I don't know, like, and it'll probably be like hot dogs for dinner again because I didn't get to this. And she was like, but don't they like it better when it's hot dogs for dinner? And I was like, what?
Dun, dun, dun.
The heavens opened up. Like my kids are happier when it's pizza, hot dogs, chicken nuggets. They like that better. And why am I feeling so bad about that? I mean, obviously my kids can't have hot dogs 365 days a year. Though I tried, but it was okay. It was not only okay, it was fun. It was lighthearted. It was no problem. And I had to have that pointed out to me.
Oh, it's good to have people who point out our nuttiness, isn't it?
Yes.
That's what we try to do for people on the podcast. Yes. You're nuts, guys. Relax.
I have some science about happiness and why it's hard to like be fun and lighthearted and stay that way.
Oh.
Can I give it to you after the break?
Please do.
All right. More and more, you hear about the importance of electrolytes as part of staying hydrated, because you need the sodium and the potassium, not just the water. And whether you're looking to hydrate during a workout, while traveling, or at the end of a long night, Sports Research Hydrate Electrolytes have got you covered with over 65 trace minerals, 7 essential vitamins, and coconut water powder.
Crisp and refreshing and without any sugar, this is hydration powered by Sports Research. They're little packets you can just grab and take with you to mix into your water bottle on the go. My favorite flavor so far, Amy, gotta be the cherry pomegranate.
Interesting. My high schooler likes the lemon lime, and she keeps a few handy in her backpack for days that she has practice after school. These electrolytes have the sodium and the potassium that you need to go with it in the optimal ratio for daily hydration.
Visit sportsresearch.com and use code WHATFRESH at checkout for 50% off your purchase of Hydrate.
That's Sports Research, SPORTSRESEARCH, sportsresearch.com, and use code WHATFRESH for 50% off your Hydrate electrolytes order.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Bree.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Bree, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down,
or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model, so that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun, so check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.
And now, when exactly will it get better?
From the What Fresh Hell podcast.
Age zero.
Okay, this is happening 24 hours a day. It has to get better than this, right?
Ages 1 and 2.
There's definitely not as much unstoppable crying, but now the whining has started and my eyeballs are actually bleeding from lack of sleep. Maybe the next phase is better.
ages 3 and 4.
I'm basically the prisoner of a small, unreasonable dictator. I'm sleeping more, but it would be a stone-cold lie to describe this as better.
Ages 5 and 6.
School has started. Kid is out of the house for several hours a day. There's still a lot of issues, but I'm not gonna lie, this is marginally better.
Ages 7 and 8.
I'm a full-time cook and taxi driver, and my clients are often angry and impossible, but they poop in the toilet and can almost manage to bathe themselves. I feel a stirring of hope.
Ages 9 and 10.
We're doing the school thing. We're playing some board games and spending a lot of time at children's activities, but there is some actual self-care going on, along with occasional moments of real fun. My child is, dare I say it, kind of sweet. I'm genuinely hopeful. This is better, guys.
Ages 11 and 12.
Uh-oh. My sweet child, now rolling his eyes at me every single moment he's awake, and I have a bad feeling it's only a harbinger of the terrible to come.
Ages 13 and 14.
I hate you, Mom.
This seems right in a definite not better way.
Ages 15 and 16.
I really hate you, Mom.
Still not better. Thanks for asking.
Ages 17 and 18.
Child is large and occasionally angry, but is also making tons of plans to leave the nest. I spend much of the time crying openly that it all went by too fast. I think maybe we should have another baby.
This has been When Exactly Will It Get Better?
From the What Fresh Hell podcast.
All right, I'm going to blind you with science, Margaret.
She blinded me with science. Woo! By the way, Oldie Logs alert on that song.
Back in my day. Gretchen Rubin, I'll put a link in the show page.
Oh, Gretchen Rubin has figured everything out about how to be happy.
Good old Gretchen Rubin. Well, she has a list of how to be more lighthearted about her parenting. And her approach to things is, shall we say, more of an Amy approach than a Margaret approach.
Like, that is not surprising.
No.
Having met Gretchen Rubin and read her books, she's definitely...
Act together, lady.
I don't consider us in the category of like Laverne and Shirley or like, you know, Monica and Rachel.
Speaking of Oldie Logs alert.
I'm going way back. Oldie Logs.
Back in my day.
But I will say that we have started to realize that people are either Amy's or Margaret's. And Gretchen Rubin is 100% an Amy.
She is Amy plus. So yeah, like, so her, one of her lighthearted tips is to get up half an hour before the kids do, to get up even earlier because...
No, thank you.
But I get it because it's like, I do this. I get my coffee. I'm like, okay, phew, what am I going to do today? And I get time to myself and get the cup of coffee in me before the kids wake up. I am a more lighthearted parent when I'm not also rushing at the same pace as they are.
No, thank you to that tip.
Yeah, I knew you'd say no way to that, but
it's not happening.
But she put me on to this notion of the hedonic adaptation. And I love a little science.
I'll listen, but I'm not going to be happy about it. But go ahead.
So hedonic adaptation, we actually talked about this in another context on this podcast, which is sort of like your happiness level in life. You've kind of got a default setting that you're going to go back to. Like people who win the lottery, they kind of 6 months later go back to as happy as they used to be. Somebody who like loses their legs in a car accident.
Oh, wait, this I know about. This I've talked about. Yes.
6 months later, they're about as happy. Right. So that's hedonic adaptation. So the problem with this is like this explains sort of the third day of Disney World when your kids are whining, why do we have to stand in line? And you're like, we like save for this vacation for 5 years. You will have fun.
We're about to do this vacation. So I will be talking about it soon.
And it's about to rain and like, you know, and like you're at the wrong end of the park to get the trolley, like whatever. You have adapted hedonically. So there was a study that found, I thought this was interesting, that the first bite of something that's delicious, a dessert, is more pleasurable than the third bite. And it's way more pleasurable than the 10th bite. By the 10th bite of your dessert, you're already like, okay, that was fun. What else is there?
Okay. I mean, I know.
Does this sound familiar?
Well, I mean, I know this, but these are, I don't know. This isn't my lane. I feel like, right, of course it is, but like, eh.
So what do you do about it? Well, we become accustomed to pleasure. And so it doesn't bring us the same amount of joy, unfortunately, very quickly, because you're just adapt to this. Like, yeah, we go to Disney World, big deal. I didn't get a balloon. You know, you adapt to it. And then once something
more. You have to get a sort of a new jolt to get the new hit. And so that's why you're in the middle of the Christmas with the decorations everywhere. Like, why isn't this fun? And the kids are complaining. Because a week ago when the decorations came out, I mean, I still remember my kids, like, with the Fisher-Price stuff, when the decorations would come out, they'd be so excited. They'd be looking out the window for elves. And then, you know, 2 days later, they're bonking each other on the head again. Like, it goes away because you adapt to it. So if you want your life to be more fun and more lighthearted, I guess this is sort of another argument for intentionality. You have to engage in things you actively enjoy in order to feel happy. You can't just sort of life flow by you and then wonder why you didn't have more fun. You have to set out to have fun.
Well, and it's the argument for expectation management, which is not a depressing concept, which I understand it sounds like. But, like, it's really about saying, like, I can't wait to go get in that hot mess with my whole extended family and, like, go do it. And, you know, maybe your family is such a nightmare, but, like, I can't wait to get in an RV with, by the way, my husband couldn't come, so my father-in-law drove the RV. I mean, I can't wait for me and my father-in-law to get in an RV with three kids under 10. Like, of course, my expectation was not, like, because every day will be a joyful memory. I was like, here comes the hot mess express upstate New York, like, look out. And so was it a hot mess? It was, but we went in with this point of view of, like, this is not going to be the perfect vacation. This is going to be Christmas vacation.
You mean Chevy Chase's Christmas Vacation? Yeah.
And, like, we're going to love it. I mean, Christmas Vacation, the movie. I think we're up to our third Oldie Lux alert.
Back in my day.
But yes, like, this is going to be Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Like, I can't find a reference of a movie that came out not 40 years ago. But, like,
you need some, like, Awkwafina film to reference here.
I know. Like, is there a new movie with young people who go on a disastrous vacation? Because just insert that title here, because I haven't seen it because I'm old. But, like, I do think that this is my thesis overall. For me, in my parenting, the number one enemy of fun, the nemesis of fun, the Lex Luthor to Superman's fun is anxiety. That is the thing that robs me of fun. And that anxiety is, am I doing it right? I'm yelling too much. They're going to hurt themselves. I'm a bad parent. Life didn't turn out the way I thought it would. I thought I was going to be like a movie star, and instead I'm home with three kids who just scream in my face. Is there something wrong with my kid? Is his behavior normal? Oh no, this is going to set him up for a life of disaster behaving this way. Like, that is the absolute dark side inverse of fun. So I have found, and I think looking back, I'm like, I'm not sure, because I was so anxious with those little kids, three kids every single time. I mean, every day was like, oh, you got them out of the car in the wrong order. I put the mobile one down before I unlocked the baby seat, and now he just ran out in traffic. Like,
I've done that.
Every day is like a constant. It's like that fox hen grain riddle. Like, how do you get them across this road without anyone eating each other, like across the stream? And that level of constant anxiety for me made my life not that fun. And I'm not sure if it was that fixable or if it was just something to endure. But now I find that, like, I know that anxiety is the enemy of fun. And so I try, when concentrating on the issue of, that's why I say to Missy, like, it'll get better. Because for me, once they were more sentient and less in danger all the time, it became much more fun for me, because the pumpkin patch was like, let's go run around and, like, go on a stupid ball race, and, like, not, oh my God, did I lose them in this crowd? I could not have fun when I was that anxious about those things.
Right.
And so I don't know if that's useful to everybody, but for me, it's not, oh my God, self-actualized by getting up a half an hour early and making coffee and relax. Like, that doesn't solve my anxiety, so that doesn't up my fun.
You and I don't find fun or lighthearted, like, we're wired differently. So yes, I find more lightheartedness by, like, getting my own stuff out of the way when the kids aren't around, so that when they are around, I can be a little more, you know, focus on just sitting with them and hearing how their day was. If I need to get up and take a shower first, so I'm not like, come on, and I can be a little more relaxed than that. Yeah, that works for me. So I think you have to find what works for you based on how you're wired and what makes you, you know, what do you enjoy? It's not the same thing.
Yeah. And my fun is, like, I found an upstate lake that has bumper boats that let you shoot foam arrows at each other's heads. Like, we're doing that, you know, like, I like going and finding fun. And, like, I find the grindy, but that's how I've always been my whole life. Like, I, Gretchen Rubin's big thing is like, make your bed before you get up in the morning because it gives you a sense of order. And I'm like, I find the grind grindy. Like, I get it. I guess she's right. You know, she's not wrong.
I don't make my bed. I mean, I have my act together. I don't make my bed.
I don't want any more grind. I don't want any more like fixes. I don't want any more books that are like French people feed their kids at midnight and feed them and they eat whatever. I don't want any more fixes. I want more fun.
Can I give you another technique that we might use to create more fun?
As long as it's not grindy.
It's not grindy. It's a little new agey.
Okay.
I don't know, guys, how Margaret's going to feel about this. Yeah. I mean,
Possibly acceptable, but likely no. But go ahead. It might help someone who's not me.
You are both like practical and not practical in certain ways, I feel like.
All right. Let me see.
I don't know. Okay. So your subconscious.
Okay. I'm worried.
Has messages that it receives and gives. And I learned this first as an actor, that when I was going into an audition, an acting teacher taught me this, that if you're going into the audition, like, don't screw up, don't screw up. You know, don't do that. Don't hold your hands weird. You know, that she would say your subconscious doesn't understand the word don't. It doesn't understand negatives. It just hears screw up, you know, do that weird thing with your hands. If my kid went to the plate in baseball and was thinking don't screw up, don't strike out, he was going to be much more likely to strike out than if he was saying, you know, I know how to do this. I'm good at this. I'm going to, you know, swing the bat with ease and I'm going to hit the ball. You need to set the messages for yourself. So you can ask yourself when you sit down to do something, a question, because your subconscious, the thinking goes, will then try to find the answer to that. So
give me an example. I'm in so far.
So instead of saying, when is this going to be more fun? You know, you're trying to decorate the Christmas tree and the kids pulling on it, whatever. And you're like, when is this going to be more fun? You can instead ask the question, how much fun can we have doing this? How much fun can I have today?
I support that.
And by asking yourself, by wording it positively, instead of why is this so hard, saying how lighthearted can I be about this, that it will make it easier. I use this for my creative work sometimes. When you sit down to write something, it's like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to do this. If I say to myself, how much fun can I have writing this article? How much fun can I have solving this problem? It just makes it all a little lighter. It just makes it all seem a little less important to me. And I can approach it with a little bit more lightheartedness.
I like that and I agree with it. And I think fundamentally that's the thing of like, what can come out of the equation? What can we do that's more fun? You know, like what makes getting through the day with a 4-3 and infant better? But I think recognizing that like these are not going to be the most fun years of your life is also important too.
Right.
Like, but if you can say, what can I do to make this more fun? You know what? The kids love baths. What if we have a bath time from 2 p.m. in the afternoon until 3:30?
Right.
Like that might be more fun than like trying to do an outing where everyone's miserable, you know?
That's right. You can keep your fun things small. They don't have to be snow globe worthy with a 4-year-old, 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old. They can be in your living room. You don't have to go see Baby Shark live to have a fun afternoon.
And that's a good point because I was saying like I love to find like the crazy thing that's really fun. You can't live like that. And so like it's okay. Not everything is a learning experience too. You know, not everything has to be like this is important. Like fun is very, very high on my triangle, I realize. And sometimes, you know, I look at some other people whose kids might be like, I don't know, doing a little better than mine. Like they're probably, I mean, I'm not a tiger mom. You know, I'm like, piano lessons seem annoying. Let's just skip that. You know, like I'm the opposite of a tiger mom. And like, I think I struggle to find the balance, which is like, yeah, but your kid still has to practice their instrument because it's fun to know how to do an instrument eventually. It's just not fun right now.
Right.
And I mean, I've struggled with that in my own life of being like, today's fun, let's do it, you know? And it hasn't always panned out for me. I've made some bad choices in search of fun. But, you know, I think that for me, fun's pretty high on the triangle. I'm just like, I want it to be fun, but I couldn't find it. I had a lot of trouble finding it with 3 kids under 5. It wasn't that fun.
That's what I think, want to give you as a takeaway more than anything else, Missy, is that beating yourself up that you're not loving every moment is a waste of your emotional energy. You're in an intense time that is just one period in your life, and it is tough. And you don't have to love every moment of it to be a good mom.
And I don't know, Missy, but if she's like me, I can give you an answer. It gets a lot more fun around 4 or 5. Like that's for me when it really got more fun. when they can get in and put themselves in the car seat, when they can take care of their own bathrooming needs, you know, when they can basically be left on a lawn without being worried they'll run into traffic. Like, I found once I hit about 4 or 5, the fun level pretty much quadrupled for me.
Mm.
May not be true for everybody, but I'm having a lot of fun right now.
I really loved the baby years, but I will say, as somebody with older kids, I have two teenagers, that I think I also thought that there was a deadline on the fun special times. You know what I mean? That, like, was when they were little that it was supposed to be fun, and then they got older and you're just driving them to soccer practice and that's not fun. And I can tell you that that's not true, that having teenagers in the house is really fun. They're hilarious. They are, of course, you want more time with them than you get sometimes, but our house is very fun and lighthearted in ways that I didn't really understand could exist until I was in it with teenagers. So it's possible.
I can testify to that. I'm telling you, we went to Amy's birthday party and my husband and I were driving home and we're like, I don't think we're as fun as Amy. That was really fun. Like, you're fun people and you do fun things. And it's much better. Just admit it, Amy. It's better than having 4, 3 and baby.
It is.
Better.
It gets better and it gets funner and it gets more lighthearted, but you can choose it in little ways.
All right. We want to hear what's going on with you guys and fun. Please don't come to our Facebook page and say, no, it only gets worse. We just skip it. If you feel that way, we respect and salute you, but keep it to yourself. Okay.
No more Debbie Downers.
No Debbie Downers. Our Facebook page is at What Fresh Hellcast. And from there, you can access, if you want fun, guys, come join our Facebook group where our awesome listeners, moms and dads, are talking to each other, giving each other advice, and just being hilariously fun. I have to say, I'm all for it.
It's a great group of people. We're also on Instagram at What Fresh Hellcast, and we're on Twitter at WFH Podcast. And I'll put links to hedonic adaptation and all that stuff on our website, which is whatfreshhellpodcast.com.
Yeah, I'm going to skip those, Amy, but I love you.
I'm here for you.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Goodbye.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.
Margaret, it's an exciting news day.
An exciting news day indeed, Amy.
A few years ago, we launched our first spinoff podcast, Toddler Purgatory, hosted by the hilarious Blair Brooks and Molly Lloyd.
And guess what? Now Blair and Molly are back with their all-new podcast, Unsticking It.
You know Blair and Molly as two busy moms and actors. And somewhere between potty training and the pandemic, they both felt like they lost their creative kaboom.
In their new podcast, Unsticking It, they are going to talk about how all of us can get back to what lights us up after motherhood. Amy, I need this.
Me too. And Blair and Molly will be talking to fellow imaginative minds. We're talking actors, artists, and creators of all kinds about how we can all unstick ourselves from whatever muck we're stuck in.
Follow, subscribe, and listen to Unsticking It wherever you get your podcasts.
That's Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks.